live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this ninth day of February 2026. And I'm absolutely thrilled to have both a first-time guest and a returning guest on this program, the latter of which is going to be serving as my special co-host today. First of all, we have joining us today Dr. Carl Hargrove. He is an elder at Grace Community Church of Sun Valley, California, and associate professor of pastoral ministries at the Master's Seminary. And he's going to be addressing finding our identity in Christ, our ethnicity. And he's also going to be introducing the African Resource Center, also known as ARC. First of all, it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Carl Hargrove.
Oh, so glad to be here. Wonderful opportunity, and I look forward to engaging with everyone.
And if, in case this slipped by some of our listeners, when I mentioned Grace Community Church of Sun Valley, California, that happens to be the church where for so many years the late Dr. John MacArthur served as the senior pastor. What else can you share with our listeners about Grace Community Church of Sun Valley, California?
Well, continue to pray for us. It's been 6 months since Pastor John went into his reward. And the church is healthy. It's a number of us, we weren't sure what might happen in a post-MacArthur local church, but I think we're seeing the fruit of biblical exposition for over 5 decades, and the people are gravitating towards the word beyond a person, beyond the vessel, but to the message itself. So our attendance is very stable, and the elder board now working together to navigate and shepherd God's people in a post-MacArthur church life. So I would say overall very positive, and the future is bright. We've had to work through some transitional issues, if you will, but everything is looking forward, you know.
Amen. And we have a returning guest, as I mentioned as well, today, who is actually serving as our special co-host. His name is George Lawson, and he is pastor of Baltimore Bible Church in Timonium, Maryland, and board member at the Master's University in Sun Valley, California. And today, we're also, in addition to our main theme of finding our identity in Christ over our ethnicity, we're also going to be announcing the upcoming Roots and Reformation Conference in Maryland later this month that is hosted by Pastor Lawson. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to the program, Pastor George Lawson.
Thanks again, and looking forward to the opportunity to engage with you in the conversation over an important topic, but grateful to be on again. Thanks, Chris.
Hey, man, why don't you tell our listeners something about Baltimore Bible Church?
Sure. Baltimore Bible Church was planted now about 13 years ago. It was a church plant through Grace Advance, which is a church planting and church strengthening ministry of Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California. And it's a ministry that Carl Hargrove also has the privilege of overseeing. This is a ministry that helped post my time in seminary to give additional training that was directed towards church planning and revitalization. And we've seen the Lord do an amazing work here in Baltimore. We started with 15 people in a basement in a Bible study, mm-hmm. and the Lord has grown that work to 300 members and about 150 kids. So we're grateful for what the Lord is doing there. And a lot of bad news coming out of Baltimore, but the good news is also being proclaimed. So we're grateful for that and just to be used to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So grateful to be where we are.
Might as well give a shout out to my dear friend and longtime listener to Iron Trip and Zion Radio, Grady Adams, down in North Carolina, who is the first person that made me aware of Pastor George Lawson and Baltimore Bible Church. So if you're listening, Grady, thank you so much for introducing me to this dear brother in Christ. By the way, if anybody would like to find out more about Baltimore Bible Church, perhaps you are interested in attending the conference. We'll be addressing the Roots and Reformation Conference on February 28th. You can go to baltimorebiblechurch.org, baltimorebiblechurch.org. Well, Dr. Hargrove, we have a tradition here on Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, such as yourself, on the program, that guest gives a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which they were raised, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And we would love to hear your story.
Oh, great. Sure. I'm privileged to share it. I grew up in Orlando, Florida, so I'm from the city beautiful, as it's called, and grew up attending a Presbyterian church in the neighborhood. At times, we would just walk to church. I remember those days, and when it came time to go off to college, I was given a King James Bible and sent off to college. When I was about 12, though, before all of that happened, I made a profession of faith at a vacation Bible school. Actually, my Aunt Mildred, who was long with her reward, was leading, and I thought it was the right thing to do. And I made that profession of faith. But then as time went on, I was further and further away from really following it. I never intellectually stopped believing it, but following it with my heart definitely was not the case. So I went to the University of Cincinnati on a football scholarship there. Thought that it came in thinking that I knew the Lord, could answer the questions about the gospel, could tell you about Christ, his story, but really didn't know the Lord, although I thought I did. So one day, football practice, a guy joins the team who has a Bible out, and I saw his Bible, and I said, Wow, you're a Christian. I'm a Christian too. So he invited me to a Bible study for athletes on campus. I started attending and realizing, I don't think I know the Lord. This is not how I'm living my life. But initially I resisted that. I wanted to live the life that I had plotted out, my career, my goals, my lifestyle. And eventually the Lord, just through circumstances pressing on me and then still attending that study, God awakened my conscience and opened my eyes. And I realized that I don't really know the Lord. And I said a prayer right there on the campus, Lord, take control of my life. And he did. And that was in some radical ways. He took away my career goals and desires for it, and placed in me a desire to be in the ministry. But I wasn't sure what that meant. But I just knew that my desire to pursue other things was gone. So I began to grow in the Lord, just reading, and was introduced as an author, John MacArthur, even back then. But I didn't know much about him except for the book that I read, and made my way back to Florida, where I grew up, after I graduated from UC, and learned more about his ministry. And the short version is I met him right there in Florida, and I was going to go to another seminary, and he said, no, don't do that. And he said, come west, young man. And that's what I did. So I did. So I made my westerly journey. I packed up what I could in my car and drove west to California. Told the Lord that I was only going to be here for 4 years or 3 years while I get my MDiv. Well, guess what? Now, that was in 1989, and I'm still here. Huh. So the Lord had other plans.
Praise God. Is it a requirement for leadership at Grace Community Church of Sun Valley, California, to be somehow involved in football in your life in high school or college?
Yeah, I've noticed that. Other people have asked that same question. Like, is there an inside road if you've been a former athlete, especially a football player? And many have been in some measure. And maybe it's because, you know, even in sports, you know, the Lord, there's a sense of teamwork that's involved. Even you learn it even as someone that may not know the Lord. And that spills into, I think, ministry life in a positive way, which is a good thing. But that is a sort of running question around campus. Yeah.
And Pastor George Lawson, I think that this topic that we are addressing today, which is also a major theme in your conference, finding our identity in Christ over our ethnicity, I think it is far more important than people may initially realize after hearing me announce that theme, because people, and I'm sure this has always been the case, but it seems to be a heightened case in the 21st century where people have turned their ethnicity and their skin color into an idol. I was just curious, what were the compelling factors that made you want to address this theme at your conference that's coming up later this month?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that among many themes that we will address at the conference, I mean, one of the things that we'll be talking about is the work of the Lord on the African continent, the reform movement that's growing there, just seeing how the Lord has been working. And obviously the gospel is a global movement. And one day men from every tribe, tongue, language, nation will be before the throne of God. So just excited to celebrate that and to promote the ongoing influence of the Reformation and the gospel truths that were recovered during that time. But one thing that's also important to address is we think about the gospel is what some of the barriers have been historically in seeing the gospel move forward. And even in our modern times, some of the ways that people have allowed their ethnicity, their background, you know, skin color to become a barrier between fellowship among brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes there's issues that the church hasn't been willing as much to address and just wanting to make sure that we're looking at scripture to see how does scripture address these issues. And ultimately, we're all coming back to Adam. You know, we all relate back to Adam, you know, in a natural way. But then for those of us who belong to Jesus Christ, we have an even, you know, greater bond. It's an eternal bond We're united in Jesus Christ. And if we focus more on what we have in common in Christ, I think that we can see a lot of unity in our churches. I know it's been said at one point, you know, that 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is the most segregated hour in America. And, you know, definitely doesn't need to be the case. And there's things that the Lord has done through the gospel that really unite us together. And so anyway, just wanting to address some of those themes during this conference. And unfortunately, I think that just recently, and, you know, some of the blogosphere, and, you know, there's been some kind of, I guess, attacks going back and forth between brothers regarding ethnicity. And I just think that the Bible has clear and compelling, you know, answers for all of the questions that people have. So anyway, just wanting to uphold the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture in the conference, and really pointing people back to the glory of Christ and our unity in Him. So there's some of the reasons why.
Yeah,
it's important.
And you've got a phenomenal roster of speakers. There are 8 speakers that I'm aware of, and among them are my guest today, Dr. Carl Hardgrove, my special co-host today, George Lawson, and our mutual friend, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, who's been a very dear friend of mine since 1996. I have the privilege of having been a member of the very first church in the United States where Dr. Mbewe preached during his first trip to the United States in 1996. That was Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick. And thanks be to God, we have maintained a close friendship ever since then. I've interviewed him many times, and I have orchestrated a number of speaking engagements for him. And he, for the second time, is going to be speaking at my upcoming pastor's luncheon in March. And by the way, folks, if you are a man in ministry leadership and you want to attend this free pastor's luncheon, whether you're a pastor, elder, deacon, or a leader in a parachurch organization, just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. And the pastor's luncheon in the subject line, and let me know the name and location of your church or ministry and how many men will be joining you, and you will be registered absolutely free Thursday, March 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And we'll be giving more details on that later on today. Paul Washer, another extraordinary preacher, is on the roster. I've had the privilege of interviewing Paul on this program once, and look forward to, if God is pleased to provide me with the opportunity, I'm looking forward to having many more interviews with him. And so this is going to be a really great event. If you could, Dr. Hargrove, what do you intend to be focusing on at this conference?
Well, actually, the topic that you introduced earlier, a session that will look at our identity first in Christ above our culture and how we have to cherish that. And then I will also introduce, because of the work that I do through ARC, the African Revitalization Center, resourcing that we provide and training that we provide for pastors in Africa. And there'll be a time, there's another meeting before the conference where men from the region will gather, and I will address them as men who are striving to be like Christ in their ministry. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. And especially this important topic, because there's a great deal of confusion about it, and how do we understand culture, and how do we understand ourselves in Christ?
Amen. And why don't you be more detailed for our listeners about
ARC,
the African Resource Center?
Yeah, Yeah, African Revitalization Center. Sure. Let me kind of give you a bit of the history with ARC. It was in 2019, I made a trip to Africa, and I've been going to the continent of Africa for over 20 years. But on this trip, I visited six countries in about a 10-day span, I think it was, maybe even less. It was sort of a bullet train, if you will. And I noticed several things that came out. Before I'd gone, and when I would generally go one country and that was it, but it was six countries in this one trip, and I went to Madagascar, South Africa, which I'd been several times already, Malawi, Kenya, I visited, Zambia, and then Ethiopia were the six countries. And there are several things that I noticed with all of them. First, and it wasn't as if this was new, but it, just seeing it in that concentrated way was different. It intensified it. So the need for resources for men in Africa who want biblical resources, that was there. What else did I notice? The prosperity perversion, rampant in Africa. And in places, you say to yourself, how does the prosperity perversion even operate in Madagascar, one of the poorest countries in the world? Well, they fleece people there. And even there, sometimes more, because what happens, believers or professing believers, or some who aren't even professing believers, flock to these people, almost treating it like a lottery. And I'm sort of buying my ticket for success into the future. And of course, these false teachers take advantage of them. But I saw that in all the countries, not so much in actually in Zambia and Ethiopia, but nonetheless, it was there. Definitely in Kenya, absolutely in South Africa, and saw it, sadly, Madagascar. Some in Malawi, but the other thing that was interesting to me was the encroachment of Islam as it moves its way down the continent. And that was a concern and remains one, as the false religion of Islam continues to make an imprint on the continent of Africa. So as I came back burdened with these concerns, the other observation was more geopolitical. I just mentioned it briefly, but it was an observation. It was also the imprint of China, and that was a thought I had about the future and what is going to happen in that continent. But I was mainly concerned with the others. And so I came back, I wrote out thoughts about what would be needed there. And actually, one of my students, who's from South Africa, we discussed it more and eventually formed a nonprofit. And so now we resource pastors. We do different things. We send other men to do training in some of those countries. We've created what we call the African Pastors Library. So we have 33 very solid biblical works that we have worked with publishers so that they can be printed for Africa. They're actually printed in Africa, so we've attained the rights to those books. Commentaries, mainly by John MacArthur, theological books, Bible introduction books that we have, 33 of them, and very economical for someone to sponsor one of those, and we give those away. Now, we do vet the people that receive them. We simply don't come, and if you show up, we give you one of those libraries. We vet them as much as possible. We have a great relationship in Zambia with the Central Africa Baptist University, and we're making them available to all of their graduates, men who have been trained in the ministry. So that's some of the story behind ARC in what we do. So I'm on the continent of Africa 2 or 3 times a year in some measure, training, teaching, preaching.
And how,
Carl, real quick, you should give the listeners an idea of what some of these men are working with. I mean, you know, behind me, I've got shelves filled with
books. Oh, sure.
And, you know, you have these pastors that are, you know, preparing messages and trying to shepherd their congregations with, you know, maybe a shelf. You know,
Sure. They're men that I've met, and I'm here in my office at the church, and I don't have very many books here. 99.9% are at home. So I actually do most of my studies at home. And I have this one little shelf back here. These are really giveaway books here that are duplicates that I give away. But they're men that I've seen that their shelf of books is not even that. Maybe it's 15 volumes that they have, some less than that. Brothers that we met on the coast of Africa outside of Mombasa, and they were not even everyone having a Bible in the church itself. And then their messages were just being used with all they had was like a New Testament introduction. And that was it. Literally, that's everything that they had. And some of them just had the one page, like the summary to the book itself with the outline and key thoughts. And that's all they have. But then, of course, they have the Spirit of God and they have humility. And they pray and the Lord gives insight. But yet, we have so many things at our disposal. It's unbelievable. I'm speaking at a conference in New Zealand in May, and a brother just wrote me this morning and said, hey, there's some books you can recommend. We'll send them over. We'll have them available. And people will show up at that conference with just books all around them that they can purchase. I mean, you come here to the Shepherd's Conference at Greatest Community Church, and we'll have 4,500 men from around the world in this tent. Literally, it's just full of books. I can't even tell you how many volumes that we have. Is anything wrong with that? No, of course not. But in one sense, we have to realize that to much that is given, much will be expected for what we have. And so, yeah.
And how long have you been operating ARC?
Well, it's really been now solid 5 years that we have. Yep. And we now are starting another initiative where we have a relationship with the Central Africa Baptist University, or we affectionately call it CABU, where now we can have satellite training in South Africa for men. And it would be at a bachelor's level, but it would be biblical training in local churches around South Africa. So we're excited about that initiative and working with local churches. And that's what we do. We come in, and when we meet every December, we have a gathering of men. And when we meet with them, we're asking, how can we help you? ARC is not coming and saying, here's our plan. How can we help you? How do we support you? How do we support the local church? And it's been a privilege to participate in it and see the genuine hunger for men that want the word. Yes.
Now, is there a
sometimes?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, is there a specific website for ARC that we can announce and also repeat it later on?
Yeah, that's a great. We have been a nonprofit in South Africa. However, we have now attained our nonprofit status just last week. It was official as a U.S. nonprofit, and our website is going to launch next week.
Oh, wow.
So I'll give you that information in the future. Right now, even if someone wanted to support that African Pastors Library, if you actually just went to Grace Church right now because of my relationship to Grace Church, and you just went under giving, one thing that would pop up right away is the first thing, African Pastors Support. And that way you could sponsor a library for a pastor in Africa. Yep.
Or they can just send people to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Lunch, where we give away a ton of free books every time that we have this. And men go home with sometimes two heavy sacks of books each. And I have heard from some of the pastors that have attended that young men that have come who are in seminary have built their libraries from coming to my luncheons. So,
we don't just build the libraries. We build the muscles, trying to carry all the books out.
And, and people can right now, just if they just went to Facebook and you typed in African Revitalization Center, and because we started in South Africa, it's Center TRE, that'll give you an overview there. But in the near future, our website will be launching here in the States.
Great. And what is the website for Grace Community Church? I think it's gracechurch.org, correct?
It's gracechurch.org.
Yes, and so people could also, as you said, find information there.
Sure, they could.
And we'll be repeating that information toward the end of the program. But we are going to our first commercial break. If you have a question for Dr. Carl Hargrove and our special co-host, George Lawson, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We are going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors. And remember, folks, our sponsors are what keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air through their financial support.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsfortheloss.com. That's heartsfortheloss.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Dr. Carl Hargrove, elder at Grace Community Church of Sun Valley, California, and Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministries at the Master's Seminary. And we are also joined by my special co-host, George Lawson, pastor of Baltimore Bible Church in Timonium, Maryland. And we are addressing finding our identity in Christ over our ethnicity. And we are also announcing the upcoming Roots and Reformation Conference in Maryland later this month. If you have a question, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Before I go to any of our listener questions, there seems to be a really disturbing trend that I would easily identify and honestly identify as racist, both that which comes from the black community and that which comes from the white community. You have the woke movement that started to split churches and brothers at least for a decade now, maybe longer, where you had men who, some of which were modern-day heroes of mine, who I've had on the program a number of times, promoted their ministries and their books, who somehow got swallowed up by this woke movement, started identifying whites as racist for slanderous reasons very often, and started to declare a closer identity with their black brethren than their white Christian brethren, and even desiring things like separate celebrations of the Lord's Supper, where only blacks would gather for this. And even more recently, you have this insidious, vile, amazingly, shockingly growing group of people who are clearly white racists, the white separatists, even if they would never call themselves, but they're clearly white supremacists, and coming from theologically reformed churches, Reformed Baptist churches, Presbyterian churches. I just had a fascinating guest on the program last Friday. I urge our listeners to look up that interview after you listen to this live show. But the interview is with Lowell Ivey, who is director of Metanoia Prison Ministries, a prison ministry operated by the Presbyterian Church in America. But Lowell, before he was saved, was a member of the Aryan Nations white supremacist prison gang from Texas, the Texas branch of that organization. And he was saved by the grace and mercy of Christ. And he on the program last Friday was warning our listeners about kinism, which is basically a white supremacist movement. And it's actually rearing its ugly head in highly respected and traditional Reformed denominations, Reformed Baptist, Presbyterian, and so on. But we cannot exaggerate how evil and how wicked this mindset is, can we, Dr. Hargrove? This is nothing to take lightly, is it?
No, it's not. It's incredibly divisive. It's no more than a strategy of the enemy to divide the body of Christ. And what's reprehensible about it is men who have studied in some, I don't know all of the advocates of this foolishness, but some who have studied theology in other areas in a sensible way, have drawn biblical conclusions from their study in scripture, but yet have diverted and are being used by the enemy to divide the body of Christ. And this is surely a strategy of the enemy, is to place people within the body who can speak some of our language. So therefore, what it does, it causes people that can be influenced to say, well, I believe him in this point, His soteriology seems to be clear. His hermeneutology is clear. His anthropology is clear. In some areas, his Christology seems to be exalted. Maybe he is right in this area, but he's not. Because even in those other areas, if you really trace them and ask them deeper questions, they're flawed in those other disciplines as well. So, it's dishonoring to Christ. And to attribute this mindset to the Lord is shameful. It really is. And so, you know, it's under this guise of purity, and you just ask yourself a question, which scriptures are you reading? Say, for instance, even when I address the group and the conference and that's coming up at the end of the month, such a clear scripture that the Lamb of God, Revelation 5, familiar text, verse 9, they sang a new song, "Worthy are you to take the scroll to open its seals, because you were slain and purchased for God with your blood people from every tribe, tongue, and people and nation. And you made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Notice the unifying element of the purchase of Jesus Christ. And that's why if a person says, well, there should be this separation. No, your soteriology is flawed. You may quote some of the right people, but your soteriology is flawed. You don't understand what God did when he purchased both Jew and Gentile. You don't. I would even say your ecclesiology is flawed because you don't understand the church. You don't understand, say, for instance, Ephesians 3. This barrier is taken away between Jew and Gentile, which now all the nations are worshipers of God equally. You don't understand that, how the church should function. So you don't understand anthropology because now you think that there is some inherent difference in people that's going to make them incompatible because of ethnicity. That's juvenile. It really is to think such a thing. It really is. Now, are there differences in people and tones and features as through time people have adapted with environments and then as they married and intermarried between people, those features shapes and forms happen over time? Surely that happened. But at the core of every person, we're the same. First, we're the same from birth. We're all sinners in need of Christ. We're all the same because we're created in the image of God. That is, we're creatures with will, and we're creatures that are built for relationship with each other. We're creatures that can make decisions in life. We are guided by our conscience. And of course, without Christ, the conscience is damaged, and with Christ, it's now renewed. That's what makes us human beings, being created in the image of God. And now we can be followers of God when the grace of God opens our eyes. So to create this false barrier is utterly ridiculous. And because a person may say, well, wait a minute, we're different culturally. That's true. Guess what? I live here in Southern California. There's cultural differences between Southern Californians and Northern Californians. At times, Northern Californians are like, hey, don't bring that madness up here. Keep your Southern California life down there.
Now, ironically, you brought up something that is also mentioned in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, where we read, after this is John saying, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands. Now, there have actually been white separatists who are now on a mission to stop people from engaging in interracial marriage. And they say, and this is really bizarre for it to come from somebody who claims to have an understanding of Reformed theology. Sure. They say that we must preserve the nations and tribes and peoples and languages as separate groups, because the only way that this vision of John's could be fulfilled is if these people remain separate, at least in the realm of not intermarrying. The thing that's bizarre about that is that, so are you saying that you're going to destroy God's sovereign orchestrated plan by what you do and what others do in regard to intermarrying? It makes no sense. But if you could, even Pastor George, if you want to chime in here.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's just such a ridiculous view. And for those that would, you know, say that they're upholding the sovereignty of God, to think that somehow man can thwart the sovereign plan of God and, you know, God's intended, you know, outcome of you know, history, it really comes back to what Carl mentioned earlier, that there's really a deficiency in their theology, regardless of what they may claim about their theology and whom they may quote. It really shows a deficiency in their theology. Just as an antidote, and I do want to at least point to two passages here, but before I do that, I wanted to mention that it was back in 2011. It was a year after I graduated from seminary. I had the privilege of traveling with Dr. MacArthur to the Louisiana State Penitentiary, which is the largest state penitentiary in the U.S., about 5,000 inmates, 26 miles, square miles of prison. And MacArthur went there. They actually presented a library that was given by Grace Church and Grace to You, and spent 3 days in the prison with Pastor John. And one of the things that really sticks out in my mind is there was a man who came up. You know, it was after MacArthur gave a message, and this man came up to greet Dr. MacArthur and myself and gave me a big hug. And the brother had tattoos, you know, all over his body. And he let me know that he was a part of an Aryan gang, hated black people, hated anybody that, you know, wasn't a pure, you know, Aryan person. And he said that the Lord completely changed his heart, you know, that after he came to Christ, that he recognized me as more of a brother than any of his family members who weren't saved. You know, he actually gave me a big hug and a kiss on the cheek. But the Lord had totally transformed this brother's heart while he was in prison. And he recognized what, unfortunately, many people today don't recognize, is that if I'm in Christ, if I have God as my Father, if I have Jesus as my Savior, if we have the Holy Spirit who's dwelling within us, that we're more united because of that spiritual connection than we are by any skin tone or, you know, living in the same country or nation. And the scripture is just very clear. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about those who are formerly Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And that phrase, in Christ Jesus, I mean, it's found all over the scriptures, you know, in Christ, in him. But the union that we have with Jesus is a union that obliterates, you know, in one sense, all of these, you know, barriers that we put up between one another, that we're now found in Christ Jesus. We have a spiritual connection, that I've died with him, that I've risen with him, that I'm found in him, that my righteousness is in him.
And because of that union with Christ, we have a closeness and a bond with one another that nothing natural can touch. And actually, later on in chapter 3, it goes on to say, Paul says in verse 14, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." Listen to this. "From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." You know, so now we're part of this family. You know, we're all derived from the Lord, from the Father. We now are part of this family that's beyond and above any natural connections that we might have. And, you know, even Christ, you know, as he's being approached, you know, if you remember when his mother and brothers were outside and
yes.
You know, people are coming to him and saying, like, "Hey, outside, your mother, your brothers." And he says, you know, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? You know, those who know the Lord, those who obey his word. You know, these are my brothers and sisters. These are my mothers. I mean, that's the connection that he's making. There's a spiritual connection that we need to recognize that goes beyond just natural, physical, you know, identity. And again, it's a deficiency of Scripture not to recognize these things that even the Lord himself would have recognized and discussed. So, it's just a very dangerous kind of teaching. And I'll just say one more thing. Isn't it fascinating that where God says that there's a distinction, Satan wants to say there's no distinction? So, you know,
sure.
There's a distinction between men and women. You know, Satan comes in and blurs the lines. Oh, there's no distinction. It's fluid. It's transgenderism and everything else. So where God says there's a distinction, Satan comes in and says, oh, there's no distinction. But then where God says there is no distinction, we're all one race, we're all part of the same family, we're one in Christ, that's where Satan comes in again and now says, no, there is a distinction. You know, where God says there's unity, where there's no distinction, now Satan comes in and says, oh, no, there is a distinction, and tries to separate people from one another. So I just see it as a ploy of the enemy. It's an attack, and I pray that the church sees it for what it is, that we're not ignorant of Satan's schemes, we're not ignorant of his devices, and that we see it for what it is, that Satan's again on the move. He's seeking someone to devour, and if he can, he'll try to divide the church. But, you know, praise God, you know, we believe that the church will prevail, and you know, we're just trying to, you know, wave the banner for truth, that, you know, Scripture is clear on these issues and we don't have to be deceived. We have the word of truth.
And in fact, I want to quickly remind our listeners, or inform them for the first time, that tomorrow on my program, I have a returning visit from a guest who was a so-called transgendered individual who got saved by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ and detransitioned, as they call it, and is now living as the man God created him to be. And he has been a powerful voice for the gospel and against this so-called transgendered movement, William Allen. He's going to be my guest again on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio tomorrow, for those of you listening who might want to mark that down on your calendar to remind you to listen. We do have Todd in Berwyn Heights, Maryland. How close is that to you, Pastor George? Berwyn Heights.
You know what? I'll have to pull out a map, so maybe the listener can actually tell us how close we are.
Okay. Todd in Berwyn Heights, Maryland, says, although obviously people who are involved in the woke movement or in the white supremacist movement are both teaching satanic ideology, but is it not wholesome and good and right to have some sort of treasured kinship with your own people, whether it be those of your ethnicity or national background, or those in the community that share the same skin color? The reason why I bring this up is that Paul, the apostle, was willing to go to hell in order to prevent his own kinsmen in the flesh, the Jews, from receiving the wrath of God in damnation. Yeah, Todd is talking about Romans 9 there. Let me look at that.
Yeah, Romans 9:3, Paul talks about he was be a curse for his brethren according to the flesh.
Right.
Notice what he said, according to the flesh.
Yes.
So I can make a statement on that. To say that we are first and foremost to prioritize our union with Christ above culture doesn't mean that we denigrate our culture. God is, there's beauty in some of this separation from the simple things of foods. One thing I love about Southern California, the world is right here. If you want Venezuelan, you can have it. If you love Thai food, you can have it. Authentic Chinese, you can have it. Peruvian, you can have it. It's right here and available. Those different cultures and people and what they've learned, it makes for a wonderful mix. And that's the beauty of God. And that's why it's from every tribe and from every tongue and every ethnicity that he is demonstrating to the world that his salvation has reached that far. I just got through teaching, where I'm in the middle of teaching Isaiah 49. And this is the second servant song. And in that servant song, it ends in verse 6, which says that his salvation is going to reach to the ends of the earth. Because it was a statement that says his salvation is not just to Israel, it's to the ends of the earth. That's how far reaching it is. And in that, ethnicity is obviously identified, and we could appreciate those differences that God is allowed to maintain. Well, we could go back and blame it all on Babel when the separation began and languages began and different cultures developed. But that's not to say that we denigrate it just because we see ourselves as union in Christ. Two people come from different cultures, but they have Christ, and now there can be a blending of the cultures themselves. But what's first and foremost is Christ. And to say, you know, I have a particular heart for my people that I have identified with most in my community. Was it wrong for John Knox to say, you know, give me Scotland or I'm going to die? No, because there's identification with his people. Is it wrong for a person that grows up in a community to say, for instance, someone that comes from, I've seen it with people from an urban community, and they identify with those people and they have a heart for them in particular, and they want to go back and reach them? Absolutely, no problem. We have men here from all around the world at the Master Seminary in their heart. I want to go back to Germany. My people in Germany, they, so much that they've done for the gospel, but now they denigrate the gospel. I want to go back. I want to go back to Colombia. I want to go back to South Africa. You know, I want to go back to Mexico. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. God has given us those unique union, those unique bonds with those people, and to have a heart for them, surely enjoy it. Enjoy the differences. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, and I will add this. What we find in Romans 9 is his desire for their salvation.
Sure.
So, you know, what Paul is burdened by is that there are Jewish people according to the flesh, you know, his kinsmen according to the flesh, who don't know Christ. And that's very different from what we're hearing today, that, you know, we need to preserve, you know, the Jewish race, or, you know, we need to preserve, you know, this kind of cultural identity. And, you know, if we don't preserve this, that somehow, you know, we're going against the plan of God. If a Jew marries a Gentile, or, you know, somehow we're, going to destroy this, you know, tribe, tongue, nation before the Lord.
Amazing. I mean,
you know, even those people who appear before the Lord, it's because they're saved. You know, it's because they've come to Christ. It's their salvation.
Sure.
I bring them before the throne of God. So Paul's main burden there in Romans chapter 9 is a burden for the salvation of his people, not just the preservation of, you know, an identity and a culture. It's about salvation. And if people, you know, somehow, you know, don't kind of, you know, understand, you know, that's the major, you know, emphasis. It's really not understanding the burden that Paul has in the context of Romans chapter 9.
Yeah, think about it this way as well. As I talked about how these people are flawed in their other disciplines of theology, they're also then flawed in their bibliology. You say, why? Bibliology, part of it is obviously the revelation of God. And then you have to ask yourself a question, what do you understand about inspiration and fallibility of God's word? If you look at the book of Revelation, if you understand it properly, the images that you see in Revelation 4 and 5 and what you see in 7, you have to ask yourself a question. Do I believe they will take place? Do I believe that the vision that John has is actually what will take place in the future, or is it a vision of what may take place in the future? If it's a vision of what will take place, preservation is still there. There will always be people from these different groups. There will be. And the fact that you think that somehow interracial marriage is thwarting the very plan of God, because the scripture never said, here is a prohibition against interracial marriage. Show me that prohibition. The only prohibition in marriage is don't be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. There is no, don't be unequally yoked to someone outside your ethnos. It doesn't say that. And here's another problem. These fellows that, espouse this foolishness, they would have found themselves in the camp of Miriam. You remember Numbers chapter 12? And what does Moses do? He marries a Cushite. He marries this Ethiopian. And so, God doesn't criticize Moses and say, hey, Moses, what are you doing? It's wrong. His brother and his sister do it. And what happens to Miriam? Well, she has leprosy. And what does Moses do? He prays for her, being the man that he was, the most humble that ever walked on the earth. So he prays for her. So I have a question for these fellows. How do you interpret Numbers 12 and 1? Here's a real live example in the scripture. Unless now you come up with some hermeneutic that simply says, well, it's an Old Testament narrative and it has no recourse for the New Testament and the principles of the New Testament. No. Or you could say, well, it's just a description of something. It's not prescriptive. But you surely learn a principle from it that's pretty clear, that's there. So there's fault in your bibliology as well.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. And if you'd like to join us, please submit your question to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state and country of residence. And Todd in Berwyn Heights, Maryland, please make sure you remind us, or tell us, I should say, how close you are to Baltimore so we can make sure that you are urged to attend the upcoming conference. We're going to be right back after these messages, folks, so please do not go away.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from a Toy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
And before I return to my guest, Dr. Carl Hargrove, and my special co-host, Pastor George Lawson, I do want to remind you folks that we are in urgent need of your financial help here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you love the show and you want it to continue to exist, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card, or if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check from your post office to a physical address, there will be a physical mailing address that also appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your private practice, like a law firm, medical firm, a business of any kind, or maybe it's a special event that you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. If you listen to this program regularly, you will know that we lost recently two of our largest advertisers, one of which was a local Christian bookstore that had been serving the body of Christ globally with the finest in Christian literature at really low prices comparatively. And this bookstore tragically, sadly, just went out of business after 50 years. They permanently closed their doors, and we lost a very valuable sponsor. And we, as I said, lost a second large advertiser, and there may be a third on its way that is going to be departing from us. We need your help, folks, to replace and replenish that lost income. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. And with all that urgency of requesting your financial help, I do want to remind all of you that I never want anybody in my audience to give your own church where you're a member less money on the Lord's Day than you normally give your church in order to bless us. Please never cut in the finances that you have specifically reserved for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us. Never do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a gift. Keep in mind that one of the pillars for founding Iron Sharpens Iron Radio back in 2005 was that this program would always be a platform, a helping hand, a right arm, and an aid to the faithful local pastor and the faithful local church. And I never want to do anything that harms either the faithful local pastor or his church, including financially. So please never give your own church less in order to bless us. But having said that, if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, and you really love the show and you don't want it to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Baltimore Bible Church in Maryland, I have extensive lists spanning the entire globe of biblically faithful churches, and I have helped listeners in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience from all over the planet Earth find biblically faithful churches, sometimes even just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you too. If you are without a biblically faithful church home, no matter where you live, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Dr. Carl Hargrove and Pastor George Lawson, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Let's see here. We do have Jonathan in West Babylon, Long Island, New York. And Jonathan says, what is the best way to reach these people guilty of this sin of separatism and racism to make them recognize that their very souls might be in jeopardy? And we'll start with Dr. Hargrove. Got an answer for that?
Sure. I think I begin to wonder, the more someone espouses this position, if they really know Christ. So with some, there has to be a starting point of salvation. What does it mean to be in the body of Christ? What does it mean to be a child of God? What happens when we're saved? How is it that now we're in union with Christ? Ephesians chapter 1, repeatedly communicating this. And because of that union, now I'm in union with my brother. And we are joined at the most important level, at the most significant level, at the eternal level, spiritually. Then why do you believe we need to create separation on things that are temporal and not as significant? So it may be that with that person, they don't really know the Lord. For those that maybe you have a sense, you know, they do know the Lord. And I want to be patient with them because I think that's biblical. Paul, patient when wrong, even. I want to be thoroughly biblical. I'm not going to attack the person. I want to attack their argument. I want to bring them back to Scripture. I want to ask them questions about what do you think this text is saying, and not just saying because you want it to, but what principles are you using to interpret this text and what it's saying? Here's the plain reading of the text, and here's the implication of the text. So I think you have to familiarize yourself with biblical texts that communicate the unity that we have in Christ. And again, the theological understanding, and I go back to Revelation. Was John's revelation a may happen or will happen? If it's a will happen, then brother, are you saying that you can undermine this final event? Do you understand the implications of your statement when you say that?
Would make John a false prophet.
No, you are. John's a false prophet, because really what you're saying is that if we keep this up, the book of Revelation will be altered. No, it's not true. It's not. Now, obviously, one cannot take a passive approach to things that are biblical. When I say things that are biblical, that is, I will be glorified if I'm in Christ, but I'm still called to, in view of his coming, to purify myself. I'm still called to purity. I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling, but I also realize it's God who is at work in me. So when it comes to this issue about race and racial marriages, this does not alter anything spiritually. It doesn't, and it cannot, unless you, again, you believe that somehow the scriptures can be altered because now mankind is violating some principle. But here's the thing about it, violating a principle that's not even in the scripture. You talk about that's a cultural principle that's been established. So the sort of the arrogance of it all is a bit much,
to say the least. And Pastor George Lawson, you have a comment you want to make?
Yeah, it was just interesting in James chapter 2 and verse 10. This is a verse that I often use in evangelism. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. But when you look into the context of what James is talking about, back to verse 1, you know, what is he talking about in this breaking of the law? You know, verse 1, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. you know, or the sin of partiality is what he's talking about. And he goes on to say in verse 9, but if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. And then it reads into verse 10, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. And then down in verse 12, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty, for judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And just for our listener, you know, how do you, you know, practically help somebody who might be stuck in this sin and making racist comments and, you know, kind of giving themselves over to this kind of ideology and saying, on the one hand, you know, I have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but on the other hand, I'm expressing this personal favoritism. You're to show them that it's incompatible, you know, that you can't say that you hold this faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and at the same time, you're holding on to this spirit of partiality, that you're actually breaking the law, the same law that you're saying that you want to uphold on one hand, you're breaking it on the other hand, and that you're to act and to speak as one who will be judged by the law of liberty, and the judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. So just being able to show them that, you know, the law of God, the word of God contradicts, you know, their statements, you know, that they're saying, I believe in Jesus Christ, I love Jesus Christ, but on the other hand, I'm going to, you know, distance myself from my brother, hold myself above my brother, you know, look down on my brother with this kind of partiality, that the two are incompatible. And it is a reason to start to question, you know, where am I? You know, do I really have this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, sure, who brings us together, while I'm on the other hand, doing what's against Jesus Christ by holding this personal favoritism? So it is a reason to bring us back to the scriptures, to examine ourselves in the light of the scriptures and the law of liberty, which is really the law of love. You know, how does this show and express a love for my brother in Christ? So bringing him back to the scriptures, which is, it really gives us everything that we need for life and godliness, is found in the text of scripture. And this view that, you know, that we shouldn't, you know, have any interracial marriage, you're not going to find it anywhere in the Bible. So it's just not to go beyond what is written. You know, in so many places in scripture, it encourages us to stick with what has actually been revealed to us, you know, not seeking to go beyond what the Lord has given to us and finding ourselves in contradiction, which is so much of what the Pharisees, you know, did in their day, you know, adding on to the law of God. And all of a sudden it's now not, you know, somehow holding up the law of God. It's actually contradicting the law of God. And that's what these brothers are doing by adding extra prohibitions that the scriptures themselves don't give. And they're actually finding themselves in opposition to the very scriptures that they're saying that they're trying to uphold.
Yep. Amen. And just to add to that arsenal, it's interesting that even though the Apostle Paul was a Hebrew of Hebrews, Pharisee of Pharisees, made that statement that we read earlier from Romans 9 about how he would be willing go to hell if it were possible, in the place of his kinfolk according to the flesh, his brothers in the flesh. At the same time, he said that a real Jew is not one who is a Jew outwardly, but one who is a Jew inwardly.
Sure.
And it wasn't the circumcision of the flesh that determined who a real Jew is. It was a circumcision of the heart. And that just bolsters the fact that our faith in Christ and our obedience to Christ makes everything else pale into insignificance. As you were talking about earlier, I think it was George, perhaps, that was quoting Christ himself about who is my mother and who are my brothers.
Sure.
Those who hear the word of God and keep it. Even his own blood relations did not have any kind of better standing or even an equal standing in importance to those that were following him. So It is. It's just absolutely amazing. I really doubt if anyone remains in this ideology of racism, no matter what your color is or your ethnic origin, in an unrepentant fashion for a long time. I cannot believe they are regenerate yet, and we need to, I think, treat them as unbelievers. There's no reason why we should treat this sin as something more palatable than homosexuality or other more scandalous sins that would warrant somebody being under church discipline. Now, going back to you, Carl, you're an elder of Grace Community Church. I doubt that somebody who has a desire to elevate this kind of ideology would want to be a member there, but don't you think that this would be a matter of church discipline if they did?
Yeah, if they espouse that, because there are two ways you could approach it. They have a personal view that now they are trying to convince others to have that view. If they simply have it internalized and they teach their family that, and in some ways people express their preference, because they do, for the most part, will marry within their ethnicity, within their culture. And it's not because of prejudice, because those are the people that they're around the most. So it's only logical. And there are some cultural preferences that a person may have. But they would never try to convince someone else that they have to do the same thing. Where it could arise in a church, now in a church, you're telling others that they're in violation. And now you're trying to pull people to yourself. And I think that's when you become factious. So if you become factious in that sense, espousing, which would be a false teaching in the church, then they would be treated as such, because now you're creating division in the body that's based on misrepresentation of God's word and even God's intention. So it would arise to the point of church discipline, because it's divisive. Yeah, and it misrepresents the scripture.
Well, wouldn't you nonetheless think that a brother or sister needs to be rebuked and urged to repent if they had a private view with their own family that exceeded something that involves preference, exceeded the fact that a two Italian-American spouses would love to see their daughter marry an Italian American young man and all that.
Sure.
When it becomes something about a level of superiority that they believe that exists, an innate superiority, because I'm sure there are professing Christians out there that would prefer, if they had only the option of their daughter marrying somebody of their own skin color who was not a believer, and marrying somebody of another skin color or ethnic origin that was a believer, I'm sure there were many that tragically would want their daughter to marry the unbeliever just because of the infinitely less important commonalities they have with skin color and and culture.
I've in my pastoral ministry, I've faced it, seen it often. It is literally yesterday, I was counseling a couple on this very matter at our little coffee shop here before the service. Literally. And her parents are opposed to the relationship. And they were asking counsel, how do we respond to them? What do we say to them? And it's all based on this sense of preference. our people, our culture. Let's maintain it. And again, it was the scripture only gives this prohibition that you be an unbeliever, that you be a believer. And the question would be, so would your parents say, okay, he's your same cultural background, but he's not a strong leader. So now you have someone who's going to care for your daughter, be sacrificial for your daughter, who is going to rear your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and you're saying that's less important? Yeah. I'm just like, he's less of a leader, but he looks more like us. No, then that's selfish. That's incredibly selfish of an individual to think that way, and it's short-sighted. But we've been conditioned that way. And I think that's also part of the enemy's scheme, not only in the church, but he does it in the world, so that maybe what happens is people will make those decisions and they choose an unbeliever just because they have a bond culturally or as far as their ethnic background, but then they miss out on the eternal input the believer brings to that family. That's the scheme of the devil.
Amen. And before we go to the final break, Pastor George Lawson, do you have anything to add to that or ask of your colleague there, Carl Hargrove?
No, I mean, I think that's just a great response. One passage that came to mind was in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16, where it says, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer." And then it goes on to say that, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." And so much of what the Bible focuses on is the inner man. You know, that's the, you know, the area where we're really to focus on, that, you know, the inner man should be, you know, being renewed and growing, you know, stronger and, you know, being strengthened. You know, Ephesians chapter 3 speaks about that, the strengthening of the inner man. You know, so much of what the Bible focuses attention on is the inner man. You know, where do you find in scripture where, you know, there's this emphasis on the outer man, on this flesh that's, you know, passing away, one day going to be glorified in the presence of Christ. Sure. But where's this emphasis on the outer man? You don't find it. It's about the inner man. You know, so again, if I'm thinking about, you know, somebody marrying, you know, one of my children, you know, marrying my daughter, and, you know, a guy comes along and I don't see any kind of strength in the inner man, it doesn't matter at all what he looks like on the outside.
Sure.
You know, he could look like a mirror image of myself. And I don't want somebody who looks like me. What I want is somebody who looks like Christ.
Amen.
So that's really, you know, what we need to focus on is how is this person, you know, and again, thinking about, you know, somebody who might be a daughter-in-law or a son-in-law to me, I want that person to resemble Jesus Christ, because that's ultimately what matters. And one day, like Colossians chapter 3 talks about, when he appears, you know, when Jesus Christ appears, that our true life will be revealed. Our true life is hidden with Christ in God. That's my true life. It's not what I see on the outside. The outside is perishing, you know, and day by day, the older we get, you know, perishing more. But my true life is hidden with Christ in God. And when he is revealed, you know, that I will be revealed on that day with him. So it matters if we're looking more like Jesus. You know, that's what's most important. And, you know, now, you know, as scripture says, we don't know Jesus Christ according to the flesh anymore. And that's not how we should be dealing with one another according to the flesh. It's about, you know, what's on the inside.
Amen. And we're going to be going to our final break right now, so don't go away. We will be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell.
It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars, and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control, and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked, or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, Valentine's Day is this Saturday, and you still have time to purchase a beautiful piece of jewelry from royaldiadem.com, because they do have overnight delivery services for you. So please, whether you're purchasing jewelry they already have in stock, or if you're having something customized like an engagement ring, please go to royaldiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And guess what? Not only do they provide for us financial support every single month, automatically, but they give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to our listeners, as long as those listeners mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry from royaldiadem.com. Go to royaldiadem.com today, mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, don't forget that men in ministry leadership are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon featuring Dr. Conrad Mbewe as the keynote speaker. This will be held at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. Everything is free of charge, including the heavy sack, maybe even two heavy sacks, of free brand new books that every man in attendance will receive, as personally selected by me and donated by generous publishers. And I just got word while I was doing this live program that Crossway is donating enough copies of Prioritizing the Church in Missions for every single man that attends. The foreword was written by Conrad Mbewe. But if you'd like to register for this free event, submit your registration to chrisarnson@gmail.com and just give us your name, the name of your church, its location, and how many men will be joining you. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. And I thank Pastor Lawson. We have just about enough time for you to give another pitch to our listeners to do everything they can to attend your event.
Absolutely. So you want to go to rootsandreformation.org for more information about the Roots and Reformation event. Again, there's going to be some wonderful speakers there. Paul Washer will be there. Nathan Buznitz from the Masters Seminary. Carl Hargrove, also from the Master Seminary and Grace Community Church. Conrad Mbewe will be with us from Kabwata Baptist Church in Africa, Lusaka, and Zambia. So we're really grateful to have them, as well as a number of missionaries that will be here. And this is not a woke movement. This is a word movement. This is about the glory of Christ, the glory of God, what the Lord is doing to continue to extend the gospel into various areas, and really combating some of what Carl mentioned earlier, you know, with the word of faith movement and false theology, ideology, and, you know, a lot of what Islam is doing as well. There's a reform movement that's growing, and we're grateful to be a part of that, and want to celebrate that work that's happening overseas, as well as to promote the ongoing work of the Reformation right here at home, and learning from our brothers and what the Lord has been doing in their lives. So if you want more information, again, rootsandreformation.org. And we also have a pre-conference that you can find on the website where we'll have a panel Q&A panel with Paul Washer, Conrad, Dr. Hargrove, and others will be a part of that Q&A panel on that Friday night. It's a pastor's pre-conference. So for the pastors who are out there or ministry leaders, you know, men who are out there who would like to participate in that, they can find information for that pre-conference event on the website as well. But rootsandreformation.org is where you want to go, and you can get all the details there.
And don't forget about the church website for Baltimore Bible Church, where George Lawson is pastor, baltimorebiblechurch.org. And Dr. Carl Hargrove, it's been a joy to have you on the program for the very first time. I look forward to many future visits from you.
Sure.
I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your entire lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Mm-hmm.